Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, Father, we thank you for your word, Father. But also, Father, I thank you for this day and the things that you have allowed me to accomplish. Now, Father, I ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with me, to give me the words to speak tonight, Father, and the understanding of this word, so that the words are not mine, but yours. And that our hearts and minds be open so that we can receive the truth, Father. We grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to you and to the Holy Spirit, and walk better according to thy word. Father, now be with us through this study. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we're going to be in 1 Peter, just going into it, chapter 1. So beginning here with the first verse, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, to elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peter here, in those two verses, letting us know who the author is. And we know that Peter is the Greek form of the Aramaic name Cephas, or rock, which was given to Peter at his call to discipleship by the Lord himself, and is the name by which he is usually designated in the New Testament, and the addresses of described as strangers, sojourners in a strange place, and scattered. The dispersion throughout Pontus and so on is in the area now known as Asia Minor. Now there in verse 2, and he starts with the elect ones who are chosen of God to salvation according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The foreknowledge is not simple prescience or advanced knowledge. It is God's determination in eternity past to bring certain ones into a special relationship with himself. And the Spirit sets apart for salvation from destruction those whom God has foreknown. Sprinkling is an illusion in which the blood was sprinkled on the altar as a symbol of the people's obedience, and also on the people as a symbol of Jehovah's acceptance. And you see, now we're not sprinkled by blood, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. So you and I, when we go to him in repentance, our sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A far greater way than what was before. Now, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 5. Who are kept by power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We know that the portrayal of salvation looks to the future, and the author of salvation is portrayed as the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of salvation, described as to its elect, has begotten us again, refers to a new stage of life that begins at salvation. And this lively hope has no element uncertainty, for it is a guaranteed by Jesus, by his resurrection from the dead. And the believer's inheritance is described as incorruptible, imperishable, and indestructible, and undefiled. You see, that blood of Jesus and his death and resurrection has done an awful lot for you and I. And without it, we have no way of entering into heaven. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we need to grow in obedience unto the word of Almighty God and receive the anointing and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to give you and I power, the knowledge, and the wisdom we need in order to do the things that God will call upon us to do. Now, we know that morally untainted that fadeth not away means it is not subject to the ravage of time. Further, it is reserved that it is, that has been preserved in the past and still is in heaven. Kept is a passive, reciprocal. We are secure because we are continually guarded by God, who never relaxes his vigil. Salvation here refers to final salvation, that is deliverance from the presence of sin and into the presence of Almighty God. Now, as we go on here to 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaven, heaviness. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we know that temptation, as it hits us, does bring forth a heaviness to us, especially those of us that are the children of Almighty God. 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 8. Whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now, you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now he has covered there in those verses from 6 to 9, the problem of salvation looks to the present. And earthly trials constitute a problem of our salvation, but they are only for a season or temporary. And manifold temptations means diversified trials. True faith cannot be destroyed. Though God is in the process of refining faith through our trials. And we know that when we do go through trials, and as God lets us go through them, we're not by ourselves. Jesus, Spirit, and the Father is with us, watching over us, and he allows us to face a lot of these trials because we learn as we go through them. We learn a lot of things. Now, are they joyful? No, not really. We'd rather not have to face these trials, but we can thank God for them because we do learn from them. And we grow stronger in faith, stronger in our obedience unto him, and stronger in placing him first and foremost in our lives. Now, 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. You know, the prophecy that he's speaking about here of salvation looks to the past. And this section, actually, that we're studying is most important, for it reveals that salvation was the object of prophecy and reveals how much of the Old Testament prophets knew of Christ. And we know of several of the Old Testament prophets that God had really given quite a bit to about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his coming, about his life, and the things that he would be doing, and even his death and his resurrection, and even his coming back to earth. Now, when the prophets, that is the Old Testament prophets, searched diligently, and this emphasizes the study involved in their search, they wanted to know when the Messiah was coming and what would be the circumstances of his coming. The Spirit of Christ, that is, the Holy Spirit, which was in them, indicates the prophets were indwelt by the Spirit. Now, we know there was times, yes, that they had the Holy Spirit that dealt with it. Here's verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, angels who are not themselves objects of redemption desire to look into and desire to stoop to look into. This is the same word used for Peter at the empty tomb of God. You know, we know that there was angels that met some of them there at the tomb, especially the angel that met the two women, wanted to know why they were there and what and who they were looking for. Because he already knew. And that's why he was there, waiting. Because you see, God knows and understands everything. He knew they'd be there and when they would be there. Now, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the exhortation to set one's hope involves an inward resolution. And he talks about girding up the loins of your mind. the imagery that is of personal distance and outward conduct, then we need to be sober and be free of every sort of mental and spiritual intoxication. You know, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the second advent when Jesus returns to earth to set up his kingdom. But there are things yet to happen even before that. And that is what we are getting the closest to. And that is his coming for the church, which will stop the church age. And there'll be no preaching or gospel then. It'll all be gone. And the Antichrist will take over for a short period of time. And it'll be a very short period of time. And all of mankind will have to make a choice who they are going to serve. Whether it will be the Antichrist or whether it will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they was to choose Jesus instead of the Antichrist, they will be martyred. They will be put to death. You know, there's a lot of things that we really don't stop to look at in our way and in a lot of our days. And if we do not put and keep our Lord first in our lives, we're going to be missing making heaven our home. And one day we'll end up in a place we sure don't want to go. But you can't hardly get people to understand this today. But we need to be and live holy. Oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can. But we can only do it through him. Because, you see, he is holy. That's why we need him. And the Word lets us know this. It's right here. In this Word. 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Of your ignorance. And why are we ignorant? Because we won't accept the Lord Jesus and we don't go by the word of Almighty God. Because it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that we get our knowledge and that we receive the grace of God to change our lives. Because you and I cannot change ourselves. We cannot get and change ourselves to be good enough to make heaven our home. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in order to make. And we're told that back in the Gospel of John. We'll be touching on that later on down the road. Now, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Even your speech is to be holy. In other words, it's to be true and truth. We're not to be telling dirty jokes and things that way. In fact, we're told in God's word, let jesting not be named once among you. We're not to do it. We're not to joke around and play around. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that. According to the word, there is. Our conversation is to be within the accordance of Almighty God and His word, even with each other, especially with you and I as brothers and sisters of the gospel. Now, 16. It's following up 15:16 is, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, not only can you be, you are commanded to be holy. And that is because he is holy. 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. In the exhortation or the talking to reverence and to walk in godly fear, the base for the exhortation is our relationship to the Father. And what motivates us to do it is for living our lives in reverence, in doctrine, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You see, we know this. If we read the Bible at all, there are certain things that you will pick up. Now, the ones who are exhorted to live their lives in reverence are the ones who are exhorted to be holy, redeemed and brought back from sin. Now, you know, because unless you're brought back from sin, most everything for you is vain or useless, worthless, and the price paid for their redemption actually was the price, precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was essential, sacrificially, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfect, eternally, who verily was foreordained. It was the Father's plan and idea before the foundation of the world, that is in eternity past and historically, but was manifest in these last times, a reference to Jesus' incarnation. Now, you see, we have everything in this book we call the Holy Bible that we need in order to live here on this earth the right kind of life, to where we will be accepted and can make heaven our home. Now, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain possessions received by tradition from your fathers. No, we cannot live by the tradition of the Mosaic law, and we are not redeemed by anything that would be monetary. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't buy our way into heaven. That all comes through this 19 which is here, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the only way. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, everything has to be and go through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even our prayers has to go through his name. Now, 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, being born again. Having been born again refers to all believers having been regenerated by the Holy Spirit through the word of God, which communicates his offer of salvation to mankind. Thus, our salvation rests from the human perceptive upon our willing reception of that offer. These are things that we really need to spend time in the study of, taking in to our lives. 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower of the earth falleth away. 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This book has the word of God, and that's what we preach, and that is supposed to be with the truth that comes from this word, and not things that we will make up and make out of it to get it to say what we want it to say, but what it says itself. We have just come to the end now of the first chapter of Peter. And God willing, in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time, we can be back into our study. you all got something out of this tonight that has helped you and that has brought things to your remembrance that you might have needed. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit that gives us, Father, the understanding and the guidance, power and the help that we need in order to live and to walk by this word, Father, so that we can make heaven our home. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, that has brought so much evil upon its own people, from those that are sitting in high offices in the place of our land here. And Father, they be removed from office and replaced by those that walk with you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church and loves your people and loves this land, and that will work with us to bring repentance to this land, Father, and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, pray for those that are part of this ministry and to study with us. For those that are close here, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, James Taylor, Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie, Father, that is in the hospital. Now, Father, my wife, myself, and all of our families, Father, we each have family members that are lost, walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with them and talk with our families, Father, and help and work with us to bring them out of darkness and into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, as we close out, I pray that you keep us all through the night in health, in safety. Let us rest some tonight, Father. Wake refreshed in the morning and back into your word with our study at 10 a.m. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a good one. Good night, all.